everyone. Welcome to 99% Effective. I'm Tisha, along with my co-host,
Jen Kostick. Yes, let's see if I can remember my name today. It's been a week. So
I know, it's only Wednesday and it's been a week. But we're here to talk about the hot topic of summer care.
Yes, and this is definitely worth a listen. And I think our listeners are going to really enjoy hearing all about this opportunity. So I would like to introduce our guest, Julie Hall. Julie, can you tell us your title and a little bit about this awesome opportunity called Camp Connect?
Certainly. Thanks for having me. My name's Julie, and I am the Chief Program Officer at SARA, and I am responsible for Children and Family Services. And this opportunity is for teens, young adults, aged 16 to 18 years of age, and it's called Camp Connect. It's intended for those that have autism.
So how'd you come up with the age of, you know, that age group of 16, 18?
It's a very funny story.
Well, because it's an untouched age group.
It certainly is. So we started, this was something that started very organically. There was both our board of directors wanting to think about how they could serve individuals that were between the two ages. Because right now, SARA has an early intervention program that serves children from 0 to 3 in their families. And it also serves adults once they transition from high school all the way through the rest of their lifespan. And the board was thinking, like, how can we help people in between that age window of 3 to 21? And at the same time, we had families that their children are turning 3 and they're leaving our program, our Birth of 3 program. And they're saying, but now what? You know, we have the school, but what do we do in between? Mm-hmm. And what do we do? They're feeling this loss of this program of Birth of 3 that is so supportive in their home and not having something like that moving forward.
Yeah, my son's 25 and I remember what it was like to leave Birth of 3. I remember, it's almost like a PTSD. I remember that because Birth of 3 was so amazing. And then it was like, they push you out the door and they're like, not push you out the door, but like, okay, figure it out. And then you go into the school system and you can't even compare what Birth of 3 does for you.
So when families were giving us feedback that when they left Birth of 3, they felt like they were just sort of floundering around because they had the school system that was there supporting their child during the day, but their support at home wasn't the same.
Right.
And then what happens in the summer when they're after the extended school year period and that gap, especially for working parents, that was their feedback. Yeah. So they were asking for two things. One is just services still to come to the home after age 3, but also then what to do about summers and services beyond, especially for kids with autism. Those families, they were receiving probably 20 hours of service a week in some cases. To go from that to nothing in the summertime is pretty intense. It's a drastic change. So we started thinking about this, and we wanted to be able to pilot some sort of program that would be able to serve those families between 3 and 21, but not really knowing exactly how to cater it to what the needs were. So we did some surveys. We surveyed our stakeholders, the people that are in our community. We surveyed those parents that were asking. We talked to anybody that would listen about what the need was. And as it came down to it, it was summer camp sounded like a good fit to at least serve one niche. We couldn't fill it all.
Right.
Especially not in a, you know, first year trial.
How do you make start somewhere, right? And then it'll be successful and then you can build from there.
Exactly. So we decided summer camp was the thing we wanted to explore. So we started reaching out to who's already doing summer camp. What does that look like? We went and talked to a program in Rhode Island that's had a long-standing program. We talked to some programs in Connecticut. They each had a different sort of age range. They each had different experiences. Their type of camp was different. So from that process, we learned a little from their life lessons, as we'll call them.
Yeah.
And they said that for a place to start, if we're starting to build this, the really young kids, that 4 to 6, because that's the age range we were thinking of at the beginning,
was really hard.
It was just really hard. It was going to be really hard. There was just a lot more to navigate. Naps, fatigue.
Right.
A day camp, would that be or something?
And there are more opportunities for that age group as right. well. Right. There are other camps in the state of Connecticut.
Right. Exactly.
Right. How not to do a podcast. Yeah.
So sorry.
It's all right.
So in talking to them, we were trying to learn from their life lessons in running camps. And they said that the really young age group of 4 to 6 was very difficult. So we started thinking, oh, well, maybe we'll just scoot that age range up and we'll look a little older. But then it became that there were some other challenges that posed in that age range. And as we were thinking about those pros, cons, how was that going to align? We also started thinking about the fact that we do serve adults, and this is an opportunity to serve a group of individuals that there isn't a lot to offer in the community right. at the moment. And it would also give them a nice welcome into what we have at SARA to offer. It's sort of a peek in the door, a peek in the window of a possibility for them after their high school education.
Right.
So that's sort of how we narrowed. We made that shift from 4 to 6 up to 16 to 18, and thought it would be a lot of fun to implement, a lot of excitement for their age because there wasn't a lot of service out there to be offered. Yeah, so we just sort of dug our feet in from there and went to work.
So tell us a little bit. So where is it going to be held, and you know what could a day look like?
So. Great questions. That's being held in Westbrook. We're going to use the campus. We've rented the campus at Oxford Academy on Boston Post Road.
So really close to our building, then actually technically across the street.
It is almost across the street. Yeah. Exactly. And that, which is great because then we have some backup resources local and close if we need them. However, the campus there offers a lot of flexibility. They have great indoor and outdoor spaces. So weather isn't going to be an issue. Air conditioning wouldn't be an issue for those that would need it. Mm-hmm. And for all of us in the summertime, dealing with the heat, frustration that comes with that, it's great to have an off.
And this is a day program?
This is going to be a day camp. So parents would drop their teens off and they would engage in a day that's like 8 to 3:30. Mm-hmm. You would have lunch together. During the course of the day, we'd like to be able to cater what we're going to do to the individuals that decide that they're going to sign up. But what we can say from a general perspective is like there would be some cooking things that would happen. There would be some movement activities. It's a summer camp. There's got to be a water fight in there somewhere.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know, we'd like to do things in the community and go out and not just necessarily keep to that space.
Right.
But games and activities.
Fun.
But things that specifically target being able to have an interaction with another human being.
Mm-hmm. Yes, teenagers want to socialize.
Yeah.
They want to be together. So that sounds fantastic because it's leaving it open to, just like you said, what they might want to do.
And there's also that natural, when you have autism, that social piece is the harder piece. Mm-hmm. So being able to have others there to help facilitate that and helping bring that engagement opportunity to the forefront so that it's not awkward. It's not as difficult. And most importantly, it's camp. It's got to be fun. Whatever we do has to be fun.
Yeah.
And fun from a teenager's lens.
Mm-hmm. So they have an amazing space over there. It's like a rec house. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
I've never been on the campus.
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful. I want to say they completed it fairly recently. Are the individuals going to have access to that as well? Mm-hmm. It's got pool tables. It's got, you know, this excellent loft upstairs with video games. I mean, it's a teen's paradise.
It is a wonderful space.
Yeah.
So that is one of our indoor spaces that we're able to use.
It's just because this is a pilot program, as you mentioned.
Right.
So this isn't all summer.
No, this is for the week of August 16th, August 12th through the 16th.
Okay.
We'll have the campers there for that 1 week. And then hopefully if this goes as well as we hope and as well as we think it will, then maybe we can offer something different, whether it's more to more kids or for a longer period in the future camps.
So what are the qualifications for someone to sign up?
As Jen knows, Jen is one of our our contacts that is in the local school districts. Mm-hmm. And we're looking for recommendations coming out of classrooms that there might be people that are interested. We're not limiting it to geography as to where they are in the States. Really, they're bringing, if they can get here.
Yeah.
Yeah. we're open to that. We want to make sure that we have the staff that can serve their needs.
Right.
So really, that's going to be the linchpin. And we want to keep it also at a cost that is much more reasonable than if you were bringing in a tons of support staff over and above what you might think of for an average camp. That would become a lot more costly, and we don't want to pass that cost on to families.
Right.
In fact, we're looking at other ways to help fund this camp and offset the cost that we're estimating.
Are you going to open this up to, say, kids that just graduated from high school and right before they're getting ready to leave, or college kids, or, you know, juniors or seniors in high school who are going into this field somewhat? Like, would there be opportunities for them to volunteer and maybe get community service hours?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We are definitely looking for volunteers to help with the program, as well as with some staff. We have some staff internally that have expressed interest in being involved, and we're open to who else might be interested in participating in that process. I think that the camp resonates with individuals that want to support others. Right. And I think that's one of the things that is a strength at Sarah, is our staff are here to serve. We're here to serve those in the community. And so there's an excitement around this.
Right. And I love bringing in, you know, like high school, college age kids. That just brings the community that much closer together.
Yes. Yes. We'll be looking for volunteers. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody wants to find out more information about Camp Connect, if they want to register, sign up, what are the next steps for them?
That's a very good question. So I know that there's information about Camp Connect on our website at sarah-inc.org that they can connect there. They can also reach out to our marketing department and to you, Jen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Surprise, surprise. Yeah. Mail's coming your way. But we're happy to entertain any calls that people have or questions if they want to call our general number.
Okay, so here's the loaded question about how many campers are you going to accept?
For a pilot, we're looking for 10 campers this year.
Okay.
And I think that to do anything more than that is a little too ambitious.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That makes sense.
And we want, like I said, we want to make sure that we have the staffing there to support and make sure that everybody is safe and having a great time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait. Very excited about it.
Yeah, you should be. I think that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity to develop something here that could be really wonderful. And we're looking for the input of the community. We're looking for the input of the campers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our survey and questionnaire that goes out to potential campers is asking about, like, what are their favorite things to do? What is it that they
right.
like?
You want to build it around their likes. And are you going to have a pretty extensive evaluation process after with like the family members and stuff to get some good feedback?
There is. So the application is fairly lengthy.
Okay.
We'll start with that.
Mm-hmm.
It is fairly lengthy. And there will definitely need to be follow-up questions because I don't think any application I've ever seen could possibly run the gamut of all the questions or nuances of any individual.
Right.
Because we're talking about 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
No two being alike. We can't make any assumptions. So there's going to be things that from that initial application, we're going to have to go a little deeper and ask. And we welcome the input. We want to build a camp that is catering to those individuals and their likes, their dislikes, and their most importantly, their needs.
Yeah.
Is there an opportunity, because I know we're talking about the campers right now, but for the parents and the families to connect outside of the camp itself? Because I hear that from a lot of parents sometimes that after program or after school that their child wants a social life. So how is there any way to make that connection to, not to overuse the word connect,
right?
But for those families after the fact, either after camp hours or when camp concludes?
It's a great idea that we hadn't yet considered in our pilot.
Not to put you on the spot, really.
But maybe even
it is a great idea. And you're right, because even in some of the other avenues that we've pursued with parents recently, that's where you see the need to connect. And we have been able to connect families to other agencies that are offering that kind of service where parents can get together and have a call. Forgive me because I can't remember the title of their specific groups, but like coffee groups.
Right, right.
Where they're able to talk about their experiences as caregivers or talk about the needs of their kids and trying to meet those needs elsewhere. But it's an opportunity for the future that we could offer something like that that's a possibility. It's just not in this pilot.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm going to throw my hat in the ring and say, if it comes up that on, say, Tuesday or Wednesday, you want to have like a meet and greet with the parents, like I would love to facilitate that.
Wonderful.
And the reason why I'm saying that is because my son's 25. So I'm just a little bit ahead mm-hmm. of that age group. And for me, it's always been, that's where I got the most information from, was somebody that was a little bit ahead of where my son was age-wise, because they kind of been there, done that. I would absolutely do that.
Wonderful. I'll hold you to that,
yeah,
Tisha.
I would 100% do that, you know. And maybe if one or two parents show up or all of them show up, you know, you just never know, you know. And I'll just...
You're the perfect person to do that, too.
Before we conclude this amazing talk, when you were saying, like, so I'm going to go back to when my son went to preschool. I remember it was just so amazing. My Birth of Three program, they actually had like a once a month group for the parents to get together with the social worker. Amazing. And then my son goes to school and, you know, he's in the preschool program. It's like a half a day. And I was like, oh, you know, I'd love to meet other parents. And the teachers looked at me like I had eight heads. They're like, we can't provide that information to you. And I felt, and they were like, okay, bye. And like, shut the door. And it was like, all I picture was like the bank vault door. Like your little child goes in at three, they shut the door and you like hear the vault spinning and you're just like, okay. Like, and it's almost like starting over. And at every, you know, you have birth of three, then you have preschool, and then you had elementary, middle, high school. And at every stage, you're almost starting over again as a parent with like, you know, where your child is. And I know your child's starting over too, but I think leaving birth of three for me was harder for me than it was for my son. Oh. And it's the same thing getting ready to leave high school. Like, now what? You know, and that's 16 to 18. It's there, you know, and some of these kids are going to qualify and be able to go till, what is it, 22 now?
To school until 22, yeah. Yeah.
But not everyone qualifies for that. My son would not have. He was, you know, so I would love to facilitate something like that.
It is it would be a wonderful thing to have those supports mm-hmm. in every community for every child, not just within Camp Connect, yeah. but
so you have your first volunteer.
So wonderful news. That is great. We will definitely look at how we can incorporate something like that.
And if it doesn't work this year, I totally understand that, but it is something that I would absolutely be willing to try.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. The need is there. And mm-hmm. that's what we're looking to do is fill a need.
Excellent.
Love it.
Well, best of luck. And if any of our listeners would like more information, you know how to reach us. And we look forward to hearing how the pilot goes.
Yeah. Thanks for taking your time.
Thanks for having me.
As always, you can find our podcast on Podbean, Stitcher, Google Podcast, Spotify, and Sarah Inc.'s website. Our podcast is designed to help you find the resources you need for children and adults with intellectual and or developmental disabilities or delays. If you have a topic you want to learn more about, let us know. We would love to hear from you.